what they were asked to do. And again, like I said, I couldn't have written that down any smoother as far as how that would go. And like Mr. Mills was saying, how just for me standing on the side, I wasn't even getting a Bible, or I wasn't presenting one either. And how it just, what it meant to me, seeing y'all pour into these kids and just showing y'all's love for them. And so, just again, thank y'all, church, for stepping in and filling in for that. This sermon that I have today came about probably in December or somewhere in there. I don't really remember when, but Gerald, you actually were praying over the offering that we'd received, and you kind of in your prayer, as you were praying, you said, you know, Jesus, he said, thank you for being willing to go. And when you said that, I don't know why, but it stuck out to me as far as reflecting on that and saying, wow, you know, Jesus was willing to go. And like I said, it blew my mind. And so the title of this message is called, Are You Willing? And let's see. Yeah, it says, so I have to ask you, church, you know, are you willing? Are you willing to go the extra step? Are you willing to make an effort? And so I've got a few examples for us to skim through and for us to talk over. And the first one that I want to talk on is in Genesis 22. And this is when Abraham's faith is tested. And we actually went over this not too long ago in our youth as far as our Sunday school lessons in the morning. We just got done studying the book of Genesis, and of course this is one of the big topics in Genesis, is a lot of the life of Abraham, but as far as his faith was tested. And so I just like to remind you of the story of Abraham and Isaac. It says, you know, that Abraham and his wife Sarah, they prayed for a child. They were Abraham was concerned that his throne was going to go to his servant's child. You know, he was afraid that, you know, he was kind of asking God. He says, God, I don't even have anyone to give my throne to. And so him and his wife had prayed for a child, and God spoke to them and told them, he said, that you will have a son, you know, that you will have an heir to your throne. And 25 years later is when God answered that promise. You know, it was 25 years after that, and we know the story that Sarah was 100 years old, right there around 100 years old when she gave birth to Isaac. And so it was 25 years of waiting. And so you can only imagine, first off, that they do have a son. And like you said, it was 25 years later. And so where this story picks up is when his faith is tested. You can only imagine how much, you know, Abraham loved Isaac. You can only imagine, I mean, not only just being a father's love, but, you know, to Abraham, Isaac was, you know, the promised child that God had promised him. And so you can only imagine the true love that he had for them. It says that, you know, but as the story goes and his faith is tested, it says Abraham was willing, you know, to walk up that mountain when God told him that he wanted him to sacrifice his son. He says, you know, in verse 2, it says, take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. It says, go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. And so you could only imagine, like I said, what was going through his mind as far as, you know, God, you promised me a son, and 25 years later, you gave me a son, and now you're saying this. You know, when he's I believe he's a teenager, somewhere in that age, you know, now you're saying this. And then we know that with faith, it says, verse 3 says, the next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. And that goes to show Abraham's just true love of the Lord. You know, it says, it points out saying he got up early the next morning. You know, if it would have been me, I probably would have been procrastinating. I put the pro in procrastinate. I'll wait to the last minute to do a lot of things. And so, you know, it speaks to Abraham's character as far as that he got up early the next morning to go ahead and to do this and to follow through with this. But Abraham was willing. He was willing to go. He was willing to wake up that morning and walk up that mountain. Says he was willing to build an altar. He was willing to tie his son Isaac up, and he was willing to raise the knife. And we know that as the story goes on, that that's when the Lord spoke to Abraham again, saying, "You know, stop what you're doing." And we know that's when he passed the test, and that's when the ram was tied up, you know, with his horns in the bushes. So we know that Abraham was willing to go all the way. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his only son. And so he was willing. So as I move on, put this here for a second. As I move on, I have to ask you, church, you know, with that same type of love and with that same type of willingness, are you willing to share the gospel? Are you willing to be unashamed of the gospel? The past few weeks on Wednesday nights, I've been working with the youth, and I've been walking them through just loving the gospel and knowing the gospel and sharing the gospel and what it means. You know, our last few weeks have all been centered around the gospel. And so Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So it is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile." And so, like I said, if we're going to be willing to share the gospel, you have to be willing to be unashamed, like Paul is writing here in Romans. You know, you have to be willing to, you know, be ready for persecution, which who better to write this, you know, other than Paul himself? We know the trials that he's been through. We know the suffering that he went through because he proclaimed the gospel and because Paul was willing. And so, moving on over to 1 Corinthians 9, this is Paul again. And I'll read, this is 1 Corinthians 9, 22 and 23. It says, "When I am with those who are weak, I share in their weaknesses, for I want to bring the weak to Christ." It says, "Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some." This is the part I want you to pick up on. It says, "I do everything to spread the gospel and to share in its blessings." And so, if you read a few verses before that, you know, Paul is saying, "When I'm with the Jews, I do as the Jews do." But he's saying, you know, I'm not under their law, but I'm doing this to fit in with them, to what he's essentially talking about in verse 22, as far as to find that common ground with someone. You know, are you willing to find that common ground with someone to share the gospel? Are you willing, you know, to when I was talking to the youth, I was telling them, you know, are you willing to go up to that person at school who, you know, doesn't dress like you, doesn't act like you, that doesn't go to church? You know, are you willing, church, to go to the person down the road that you don't know if they're a Christian or not? You don't know what their interests are. Are you willing to find that common ground with them to essentially, like Paul said, do everything to spread the gospel? And so, the last thing in this little section is saying, you know, that Jesus commands us to go and to make disciples. Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission, says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." It says, "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so, this is, you know, some of Jesus' last words that he spoke to his disciples before we know that he was going to ascend back into heaven. This is what Jesus is leaving them with. This is what Jesus is telling them. And he is simply telling us to go and make disciples. And I've said it before, this, you know, that little two-letter word, "go," is hard. That two-letter word, "go," is a struggle. It's an effort that you have to make. It says we have to go, church. You know, I was telling the youth the other night when we were talking about this, I said, you know, obedience is not optional. You know, when Jesus is saying, he's telling us to go and make disciples, he's not saying, go if you feel like helping that person out. Or go if you feel like that person will make a decision. Because if you're going and making disciples, you're going to be rejected more times than most, more than likely. You have to be willing to go to know going into it that you're not, you know, just because you share the gospel does not demand a definite yes, you know, from them, from the person that you're sharing it to. But, you know, I'd have to ask you, you know, are you unashamed, church? Are you unashamed of this gospel that we proclaim as Christians? Are you, are you the person that is doing everything to spread the gospel? Are you willing to go and make disciples? One of my friends, who was a youth pastor in Gordo for a while, and he was real big in a college ministry at Bevel State, and he's actually a youth pastor now in North Alabama, but when he was at Bevel State, we used to go up there, and this was the same time that we had a lot of student ministry things going on that I was involved with at Valley View, and then moving into our group. You know, when I graduated high school, we were still kind of doing a lot of the student ministry stuff, which was all student-led. It was a really powerful thing to be a part of, and it was really a neat thing to be a part of, to see youth leading services for other youth. And so it was neat to be a part of that. But I went to hear him one night up at Bevel State at what they called The Few, which was based off Matthew 7. But he had a sermon, and in his message, the first question he asked, which in my opinion is a very powerful question to ask right off the bat, and immediately, you know, he grabbed my attention, and I was hooked, and I was convicted from the beginning. And he said, his opening statements were, he said, "When was the last time that you shared the gospel?" And he said, I'm not talking about when's the last time you said, "Hey man, you ought to come to church with me Sunday," or "Hey, we'd love to have you at Shiloh." He boldly asked, you know, "When was the last time that you shared the gospel with someone who was lost, with someone who needed to hear the gospel?" Not helping somebody in times of need or in times of trouble, not helping someone out, like I said, that's just going through rough times, or that someone who just needs encouragement. He asking, "When was the last time that you told somebody, you know, like I've been telling the youth, you know, the ABCs, you know, the admit, you know, when you were telling somebody that they have to admit that they're a sinner, that they have to believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, and then they have to confess their sins, like you have to walk them through the ABCs. When was the last time?" And when he asked that, like I said, I began to be convicted of it, and I couldn't tell you the last time that I had shared the gospel with someone. I couldn't tell you an exact moment. You know, I could name all kind of people that I had invited to church. I could name all kind of people that I had tried to encourage with scripture and things like that. But I couldn't, at that point, I could not sit down and say that, you know, on January whatever, I shared the gospel with this person, and they either accepted or they did not. But I couldn't pinpoint that to say that I had shared the gospel on this date. And so when he said that, you know, I was taken back, and I was, I had to examine what I was doing as a Christian. Like, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I love God. Yes, I'm worshiping. Yes, I'm inviting people. I'm doing all this stuff, but I'm not doing one of the very things that Jesus commanded us to do, to go and make disciples. I was not sharing the gospel. I was not, you know, like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I was not doing anything technically to share the gospel to spread the gospel and to share in its blessings. I was not doing what I had been called to do. And so from that point on, I started praying, and I had wore one of those little bracelets that had the little beads. I don't know if y'all probably know what I'm talking about. It's got the different colored beads. It has what each color phase means and what each step it had taken. And I'd actually had somebody, Craig Wendell, actually showed me this, even though I'd already seen it. He showed me before, but he talked about the ticket to heaven thing. I don't know if y'all have heard that or seen that or even know about that. When they fold a piece of paper a certain way and you tell a story with it and you cut off pieces of it, and at the end of the story, you know, your pieces spell out hell, but then the big piece is a cross. And so, but at that time, like I said, I couldn't pinpoint when was the last time that I had shared the gospel with somebody. And so it was a group of our college class. We were going to Bama Bowl. We were going to bowl that, you know, just as like a summertime social thing. We were bowling. And I went into that, and I had been praying. I said, God, I want somebody to share the gospel to. Like, I want you to lead me to that person. Like, I want a big sign that says, Caleb, there he is, right there. Share, you know, share the gospel with him. And so, like I said, I was praying through it, and I was praying for someone to meet, you know, to share the gospel, whether it be when I was at Shelton, wherever, you know, at the library, anywhere like that, which I probably wasn't going to be in the library because I wasn't there much, but that just came to my mind at Shelton. But anyway, we were at the bowling alley, and one of my friends was there with me and said, man, what are you doing? And I had my little ticket thing with me. I said, I'm about to go share the gospel. Are you coming? And he said, yeah. He said, I'll go with you. And so I went up to these people. They had to have been some high school kids or something, which it turned out they were. They were from Northside. And like I said, I went into it, and I told them, I said, I see y'all over here. And I said, I just want to tell y'all something. I said, I want to tell y'all about Jesus. And I sat down, and I walked them through the steps of salvation. I walked them through the gospel message. And I showed them the ticket thing, and they thought that was neat. And I showed that with them, and it turned out that they were all Christians, and that they had all, you know, had made professions of faith. And so, but it wasn't about technically that. It was about whether or not I was willing to go. Like I said, they were all Christians, which was probably a good thing. It is a good thing, but it's probably a good thing that, you know, that I wasn't rejected like that, because I don't know how I would have taken anything or anything like that. But like I said, it was all about, you know, was I willing to go? Was I willing to be like Abraham, you know, to go up that mountain and to be prepared, you know, to sacrifice my son? Or was I willing to do everything that I knew how to spread the gospel? And so, as I close, I want to tell y'all about one more person who was willing, and his name is Jesus. Jesus was willing to leave heaven, you know, to leave his throne in heaven. I was actually in Carrollton Friday. Me and some friends were squirrel hunting over there, and he's a pastor too, and he was actually preaching this Sunday. And so he was asking me about, he said, what do you know about Jonah? Or not Jonah, what do you know about Noah? And we kind of, you know, we went back and forth, and I said, well, what do you know about Jesus being willing to leave heaven? And so when we were talking through that, if you really think about it, like what Gerald had prayed, you know, thank you, Jesus, for being willing to go. And if you think about the whole story of how Jesus was willing, like I said, to leave his throne in heaven, you know, he didn't have to. But he came willing, you know, and knowing that he was going to be born of a virgin. He came willing to live a perfect life, willing to have a personal ministry. People say it over and over again that ministry is messy. And that is a fact. You know, not saying that to deter you from ministry at all, but ministry is work. You know, ministry is not something that is just, you know, happy-go-lucky all the time. Ministry, like I said, is work. It is messy. It is hard. It is there in your face, but in the end, it is worth it. And like I said, he was willing to live a perfect life. He was willing to have a personal ministry. He was willing to heal the sick, to feed the hungry, to set the captives free. He was willing to set his eyes towards Jerusalem, knowing the end in sight. You see, Jesus wasn't, you know, surprised by the cross. Jesus knew going into it, you know, what he was there for, what was coming for him. He knew the end result. Like I said, it wasn't a surprise to him when he was a teenager that God revealed to him, oh, by the way, son, you're going to die. Like, you're going to Calvary. You're going to the cross. Jesus knew it all along that he was going to the cross. Jesus knew, people. If you can't imagine that, you know, it says that he knew. Simply, he knew. He knew the end result, and he chose me, church, and he chose you. You know, when he was sweating, this is the when Gerald prayed that, this is kind of the picture that I had in my mind. And this is when Jesus was sweating blood in the garden, when he was begging God to take this away, you know, to let this cup of suffering pass. When he was begging, you know, for another way out or another way of this to happen, you know, he knew all along that this was the plan. He knew that this is what he had to do. And so, like I said, he asked for the cup of suffering to pass, but he wanted God's will to be done. And so he knew the need for us as far as our need for a Savior. And he knew the end result. And he knew that it was going to be worth it. And Paul, you can go in and start sliding that down. I have a video to go along with this. And church, I want to encourage you to know that in the end, it is worth it. You are worth it to Jesus, and you are worth it just like you are. You know, Christianity is a beautiful thing as far as we don't have to clean up before you can come to Christ. When you're in your deepest, darkest, nastiest time of your life, you know, Jesus doesn't sit back saying, you know, when you clean it up a little bit, come to me. Jesus is the one that reaches down, like I said, when you're in your deepest, darkest times and saying, you know, come follow me. And so, as I close, this video is from one of those student ministries. And this is what they call a drama. And it's to a song, and these people are acting out different visuals for you. And I'm like Miss Mills this morning. You know, she said she's a visual learner. And when people used to do these dramas for our student ministry, to me, that was a message right there. You could have had an invitation and been done with it right there. And, you know, I wouldn't have had to worry about a speaker. Like, that would have been perfect. And so I hope that as you watch this video, I hope that you can see what it means to Jesus that you are worth it all. Thank you.
I just want you to know that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is looking around and he's just telling you, you are worth it.
I don't understand your ways. Oh, but I will give you my soul. Give you all of my praise. You hold on to all my pain. With it you are pulling me closer and pulling me into your ways. Now around every corner and above every mountain, I'm not looking for crowds. All the water from fountains, I'm desperate in seeking, for air in believing, the sight of your face, it's all that I need. I will say to you, it's gonna be worth it, gonna be worth it. Gonna be worth it all. I believe this. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it all. I don't understand your ways. I gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it all. I believe it. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it all. Gonna be worth it all. I